This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're very happy to have on the program today Mr. John C. Satterfield of Yazoo City, Mississippi. Mr. Satterfield is a past president of the American Bar Association. Naturally, that makes him a very prominent attorney. He's also been an extremely active layman in the Methodist Church and active in church activities at regional and national levels. Mr. Satterfield, it's a real pleasure to have you on the program today.
Thank you. I'm delighted to have this opportunity.
Let's first define what we're going to be discussing on this program, a piece of legislation called the Civil Rights Act of 1963. Now, does this act, as its name would imply, deal principally in the field of race relations?
As a matter of fact, it does not. This legislation is about 10% civil rights and 90% extension of federal power. In my opinion, it has been under preparation for many months, and the reason it was brought forward at this time, under this auspices and with this trappings, was because it was felt this would be the only way it would be possible for the Congress to pass legislation of this kind.
Now, would this act affect a relatively limited group of people, or would its implications be on a broad base?
Well, as a matter of fact, it's not generally known. But if a person owns a home, they are affected. And among those who are affected by this act are employers and employees in almost every business in the United States, everyone who belongs to a union, every person who works under federal civil service, everyone who carries on a business that pays a license tax to a state or to a city, everyone who deposits in any bank that has the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation protection, everyone who borrows from such a bank, every person in the United States that participates in any farm program that has any connection with federal financing, every person who has a child in school, every person who votes, and everyone who expects to receive Social Security, veterans benefits, old age pensions, or even retirement benefits. It covers almost everybody in the United States.
Mr. Satterfield, during recent days, we have seen reports in the press that this Civil Rights Act, so-called, was watered down considerably while being passed through the House Judiciary Committee. Is this a fact? Is the bill, as some statements would have us believe, is this bill now a moderate proposal?
No, as a matter of fact, the full committee substitute is harsher. It has more extensive provisions. It will have a worse effect on those within its boundaries than the original bill or the substitute bill. It is a fact that it ought to prevent some opposition. There have been a few exemptions, such as boarding houses having less than five rooms to be rented, employers having less than 25 employees, and some few exemptions of that kind. But it sets up, for instance, a federal FEPC and provides that there shall be appropriated for the first year $2.5 million and thereafter $10 million a year to federally police all employment in the United States that falls within the bill, and that is the great majority, practically all of the employment in the United States.
And this $10 million a year, in other words, could be used to hire a force of inspectors to go around the country questioning employers' policies in hiring, firing, promotions, and so forth.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I have been told on good authority that it was 5 years after the National Labor Relations Board was created Before, it required a budget of that amount of money, $10 million a year. It's expected that this will be all-pervasive. In addition to that, authority is given in the bill for the President and the Attorney General to require every federal agency and administration having anything to do with federal financing to police their programs, which will mean that there will not be just $10 million, but several hundreds of million dollars available for policing the businesses, the individuals, and those who are covered by the bill.
Mr. Satterfield, I know that you've been devoting a lot of time to an intensive study of this bill recently and to a survey of public opinion as concerning this bill. Do you believe that the American public generally is aware of the far-reaching nature of this civil rights proposal?
My judgment is that they are not. Publicity has been repeatedly given out, which is not correct, which indicates this bill is extremely limited in its effect. My judgment is that if the majority of the people of the United States had any idea of the extent of this bill, there would be no possibility of its favorable consideration for Congress. For instance, it affects every landowner. It affects every homeowner. It affects the occupancy of the home, the building of the home, the sale of the home, the renting of rooms in the home in connection with federal financing. And the substitute, while it leaves out the words guarantee or insurance in connection with federal financing, it includes the word contract. Therefore, it's just as broad as the bill, and it will cover every homeowner in the United States who will be policed by federal inspectors.
During your recent term of service as president of the American Bar Association, I know that you traveled very extensively, in fact, almost your full time for a year, visiting virtually every state in the Union and talking with a large number of people, both attorneys and lay people in these various states. Was it your experience that this type of legislation is favored by a majority of the American public?
Well, as a matter of fact, Dick, I visited and spoke in 46 states at nearly 150 different meetings. By the way, I also had the pleasure of visiting 21 foreign countries while I was president of the American Bar Association. My judgment of the feeling of the great majority of the people in all of our states is that they do not favor this type of legislation. We all believe in the proper protection of civil rights of both minorities and majorities, but we do not believe in setting up a federal police state in which millions of dollars will be used to put federal governmental force looking over the shoulder of every businessman, of every employee, of every homeowner within the United States. And that is what this legislation, in effect, does.
I'd like to ask for your frank appraisal on this question, Mr. Satterfield. You and I both live in Mississippi, therefore we feel relatively free to speak out if we see something in a bill of this type that we oppose. Do you believe that Americans who live in other parts of the country, particularly in the large cities of the North and East, feel equally free to oppose this type of legislation? Or do you believe that perhaps they feel that they would be intimidated somewhat were they to speak out publicly?
Well, it is my judgment that where the tremendous financial power of the federal government is being used for political ends and to attain that which is wanted by the President and the Attorney General, that throughout the United States there is a great hesitancy to take a public position in opposition to that which they want, and particularly to a bill which extends executive power like this does. I'm afraid that there are many thousands of people in the United States who, realizing the effect of this bill, nevertheless hesitate to actively oppose it for that reason. They are afraid that they will be intimidated, financially or otherwise, through the power of the federal executive.
Were they allowed to go into a voting booth and mark their choice in secret, in other words, you feel they would be inclined to vote against it, but where it becomes a matter of public discussion, they hesitate to raise their voices?
That is true where they know what the bill does. Now, if they have been befuddled and misled by the propaganda, which makes this the Trojan horse of 1963, that is, under the plea of protecting rights of minorities and the civil rights of those minorities, without it being realized, the tremendous destruction of the civil rights and the property rights and the personal rights of the majorities, they might vote for it. But my judgment is that the great majority of the people in all of the states would vote against this legislation when they have the full facts before them and could do so privately without the fear of intimidation or reprisal.
Nonetheless, Mr. Satterfield, it is a fact, is it not, that a number of prominent residents of other areas of the country, of the North and West, as well as the South, have spoken out publicly against this bill?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have had correspondence with the leaders from between 35 and 43 states. I believe it's about 41 states as of today who are very strongly opposing this bill, and my judgment is that they exist in every state in the Union.
I'd like to take this opportunity, by the way, to mention that several groups have prepared excellent material describing this proposed Civil Rights Act. Here is a pamphlet prepared by the Virginia Commission on Constitutional Government entitled Civil Rights and Legal Wrongs. Another one, the Blueprint for Total Federal Regimentation, an analysis of the Civil Rights Act prepared by Mr. Satterfield and by Mr. Lloyd Wright, another former president of the American Bar Association from Los Angeles, California. Many such materials are available, prepared by groups such as the Virginia Commission, the Coordinating Committee for Fundamental American Freedoms in Washington. If you would like to receive such materials, just write us at the address you'll be given at the end of this program and request material on the Civil Rights Bill. We'll be happy to see that your request is forwarded to the proper folks and that your materials will be furnished to you. Mr. Satterfield, thank you very much for being with us on this program. I'll be looking forward to continuing this discussion in the very near future.
I was certainly delighted to have this opportunity to speak to many people throughout the United States through your courtesy.
Join us again next week for another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Our guest on today's program has been Mr. John C. Satterfield, prominent attorney from Yazoo City, Mississippi, past president of the American Bar Association. Till next week, then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.